All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And who would like to read that for us this morning? All right, Mandy, go ahead.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
All right. And so again, the part of that verse that we began focusing on last week, and we just kind of started to lay the foundation for this lesson on virtue, is that second part of the verse where it says, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so we started last week to talk about what it means to have virtue, what it means to courageously do right, and how we ought to seek to do right, even when it's not the easy choice, the popular choice. As Christians, we should always seek to do right. And so this morning, we want to start to see a little bit about virtue. And the first thing we want to see is virtue's responsibility. Virtue's responsibility. And the fact that God has called his children, he has called us as Christians to virtue. And now, not every Christian is going to answer the call to courageously do right. But there have been many who have. Daniel, David, Elijah, Ruth, John the Baptist, Deborah, Moses, Joseph, Paul, Stephen. You find them throughout the Old and the New Testaments. You find that they're all Christians. They're all God's children who, when the call to do right came, they sought to answer that call and they sought to do right. And of course, we know the greatest example of answering that call of virtue, answering that call to do right, was Lord Jesus Christ. Who'd like to read there? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
All right, and so we see there, he's called us to glory and what? And virtue. And so we see that as his child, we've been called to virtue. But not only that, secondly, God has commanded his children to have virtue. You're there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Who'd like to read there verse number 5? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Katie?
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
All right, so we see now we have been called to virtue. Now we've been commanded. And we see there that beside this, we're to give all what?
Diligence.
Diligence to add to that faith the virtue. And so we need to be, it needs to be a, well, as the word says there, diligent. Excuse me. Diligent. So there needs to be a purpose that you are going to deliberately set out to add this particular fruit of the Spirit to your faith. And so, yes, while we're called to it, while we're commanded to it, it has to be something that we seek to, every day we wake up, today I'm going to seek to do right. I'm going to try and do right. We read Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, we know that we're there, think on these things. And so, if you have things that are virtuous in nature, then the Bible tells us here to think on those things, meditate upon those things, get to know those things. And so, as we think about this morning being commanded to have virtue, what a person does is in direct response to what he thinks about. And so, if as Christians we want to act virtuously, then we must think virtuous. Proverbs 4:26, the Bible says, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And then Isaiah 65:2, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. And so we see here, if we want to act a certain way, then we have to think a certain way. If we want to do things that are that have virtue, then we need to think on things that have virtue, or else we're not going to act virtuously because we're not thinking virtuously. And so we see virtue's responsibility. We've been called, we've been commanded to have virtue. Then secondly, this morning, we see virtue's reputation. We see virtue's reputation. And so after we've been saved, after we've been born again, after we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we see that a man's behavior should change in a way that is noticeable. You've heard me say it any number of times. This time next week, you should be more like Christ than you are today. Next month, more than this month. Next year, more than this month. There should be a noticeable change in our life. Now, sometimes unbelievers, what they'll do is they will challenge and they will criticize a new believer, someone who just got saved, someone who just trusted Christ as their Savior, and they'll challenge them, they'll criticize them for being different or for attempting to allow the Lord to have that control in their life. However, the accounts of people being saved in the Bible show that there was indeed a change following salvation. Of course, in Acts chapter 16, you have the Philippian jailer washed Paul's wounds, released him from prison after Paul led him to the Christ. In John chapter 4, it tells us of a woman who had been married 5 times, but she met Jesus, she met the Savior, when, of course, he went to draw water from the well, and then as he was leaving her water pot, she went into the city of Samaria to tell others about what Jesus had just did for her and about this Savior she had just met. And so there was a change in these two people's lives. You go over to the book of Mark. It tells us about the man who had an unclean spirit and dwelt among the tombs. He was known, of course, to go about crying and cutting himself with stones, yet salvation changed his behavior. When he got born again, when he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, instead of being uncontrollable, the Bible tells us he sat clothed and in his right mind. So there was a change when he met Jesus. There was a change when he got to know the Lord as his Savior. And so when you and I got saved, there needed to be a change. The Lord needed to make a difference. Now, that change isn't going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen, you know, right away. But it does happen over a course of a set period of time. So we see virtue's reputation. And the first thing we look at under virtue's reputation is virtue, courageously doing right, will bring persecution. Doing right will bring persecution. Matthew 5:10, the Bible there says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted," and this fill in the blank is, for righteousness' sake. So blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all them that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so we know that as we get closer to the Lord's return, as we try to live more like Him, as we try to do more of what He says is right, as opposed to what the world says is right, the world is not going to take kindly to Christians who are just trying to live right, do right, and be what the Lord would have them to be. And, you know, you're going to suffer persecution for it. You're going to suffer ridicule and mocking and all the rest. There will bring persecution about it. But not only will it bring persecution, secondly, virtue cannot be hid. Virtue cannot be hid. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible there says, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And so if you're trying to do right, then people are going to know that. You're not going to be able to hide it. You're not going to be able to, you know, it's like the old kids' Sunday school song, "This Little Light of Mine." You know, hide it under a bushel, no. Hide it under a bushel, no. You're not going to be able to hide when you're trying to do right. And people are going to take notice of that, that, hey, there's something different in this person's life, that they're trying to do that which is right. And so we see virtue's reputation. And then thirdly this morning, and finally, we see virtue's reward. We see virtue's reward. What is going to be the result now of living right, living for Jesus, living for God? And what can we expect to look forward to? Well, for one, Proverbs 31, excuse me, Proverbs 31 and verse 10 poses to us the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, many do not want to pay the price for being virtuous, but there is a reward for being virtuous. There is a reward for doing right. Henry Morrison, a missionary, told the story. He was coming home from the mission field, and he arrived in New York City aboard the same ship that brought President Roosevelt from one of his safaris there in Africa. And, of course, as you could imagine, thousands of people, they swarmed the docks to greet this illustrious hunter. But not a person was there to welcome Morrison. He boarded the train for his home, and after several weary and lonely hours, he arrived at the station. And humanly speaking, he had reason to complain, but instead of complaining, the Lord impressed upon his heart this thought, "Henry, you are not home yet." And so, you know, doing right before we get to heaven, you know, yes, it's nice to get that pat on the back. It's nice to get that encouragement. But our reward is not here. Our reward is not in this world. Our reward is not on this earth. We see that virtue's reward, it's rewarded by God. In heaven, God will reward those who courageously do right. If you do right, you have a crown waiting for you. Charles Spurgeon once said, "There are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers on earth." And that's true. That if we expect to receive rewards in heaven, we need to live right now while we still have the time. Matthew 25 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we should all want to hear someday when we get to heaven. We stand before Jesus. We stand before God. He looks at us, and He looks at everything we did in our life. And He's not looking for perfection, because none of us are perfect. None of us are, none of us can attain perfection on this side of heaven, but we can be faithful, and we should want to be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." James 1:12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That love him. And so we see again, not looking for perfection. He's just looking for faithfulness. He's looking for those of us that will love him and that will try and live for him and that will try and do those things which are right. And so, as we think about being rewarded and having virtue rewarded, we see, number one, it's rewarded by God. Bless you.
Thank you.
But then secondly, even though we know our ultimate reward is from God, we see secondly and finally this morning that we can be rewarded by man. And so, as a crown brings honor and splendor and dignity to its wearer, so too does virtue bring these things to the Christian who adds virtue to his or her faith. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. The Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. And then Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her prize is far above rubies. And so we see there that as we're thinking about, you know, okay, what is our reward sometimes on earth? Well, we can think of it here in terms of marriage. You can find a virtuous woman or a virtuous man. And that can be your reward for doing that which is right this side of heaven. And so we see this morning that the Christian must remember that virtue should not be a trait that is added over a period of time. Again, 2 Peter 1:5 tells us, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So not only did God list virtue as the very first fruit of the Spirit that we need to add, he also used the word diligence, which means speed. In other words, get the lead out. In other words, get some pep to your step. In other words, you know, yeah, exactly. You know, get some ants in your pants or something. I don't know.
Caffeine.
Yeah, and some caffeine. You know, when you really when you really need to get up and go, or whatever the case may be, right? But that's what that means when he says diligence. It means speed. Do it quickly, because the sooner and the quicker you learn to do that which is right, the easier it becomes over time. Because then as you're met with situations that pop up, and I can guarantee you every single day of every single week, of every single month, of every single year, there are going to be situations that pop up that you're going to have to make a decision on, okay, how am I going to handle this decision? And if you, up to this point, if you've been handling decisions and you've been seeking to do that which is right in the sight of God, well, then it's going to be a no-brainer. It's going to be a no contest. For somebody else, this difficult situation comes up. You've been seeking to do right. You know what the Bible says. Then you're just going to keep on doing right. Now, if up to this point, you know, you've kind of struggled with that, you've kind of, you know, been hit or miss, or maybe you've kind of slacked off in doing that which is right, then it's going to be harder to do that which is right, to do that which is virtuous. And so that's why we see this morning a Christian, we shouldn't wait to courageously do right, but we should seek to do it now. We should seek to be virtuous now. We should seek to courageously do right now. And if we will, then the Lord will help guide us in doing right. Because we think about it, and again, we think about the persecution and the mocking and the ridicule, and they say, oh, you Bible thumper, or you Jesus freak, or you know, whole host of other things, but, you know, the Lord will help see you through that. And so seek to try and do that, and the Lord will definitely help you each step of the way. And so any questions about being virtuous this morning? Any questions about doing that which is right this morning?
You said the book of James wrong.
What did that say?
You said the book of James. Don't you remember that guy? I'm sorry. Every time I see the book of James, you gotta read the book of James.
From the men's conference. Yeah.
The book of James. Yeah.
I didn't realize James was like a WWE Bible character.
He was a baseball guy, and he was about baseball and the book of James.
That's right, that's right, that's right. Not a bad combination either, no. You know. But any other questions or comments about doing right?
Don't give into intrusive thoughts, like I wanted to throw that against the wall this morning. So that's
yes, please don't. That. You know, I still got files on there.
You would have too.
Yeah, there you can. Yeah.
It decided to shut down while you were teaching.
Yeah, her face was probably. So I watched that go blind. Your face like.
All right. Well, you better go get it plugged up. And so, Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?